The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio. Welcome to Generations Radio. I am Percy. I'm back every Saturday and Sunday. Now, I'm not here live, just to let you know. We tape these shows either Thursday or Friday prior. And so, you know, that way I have my free weekends to myself and my family. But anyway, we tape these every week, and we provide resources and different topics and events going on in the community regarding aging. And so, as I mentioned in my previous show, it was a month and a half ago, I got recertified as my Certified Senior Advisor, CSA. And I was in Portland, it was a month and a half ago, and I'm very involved, as you guys know, with aging here in Hawaii with the magazine, and I'm a big advocate. And I was at a booth, I was taking my class, and during the break, I ran into a booth that had these really beautiful cards. And I'm looking close at these cards, and they're all different designs, and they're about caregiving. So I looked around, like, wow, these are some great cards. And then, so I was looking around to see who ran this booth, and I ran this Chinese girl, her name is Jen Chan, and I was like, wow, these are some really great cards. And what got you involved? And she was a caregiver, but she's working out of San Francisco. She has a website. So I went to the website, and she has a ton of cards that are just fits all different things for caregivers. And so actually Jen Chan has called in from San Francisco. So welcome to the show, Jen.
Can you hear us? Hello, Percy. Thank you. Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you all the way from San Francisco there.
Aloha.
Yeah, aloha. So Jen looks local. She's Chinese from San Francisco. Are you originally from San Francisco?
San Francisco Bay Area. Bay Area. Born and raised down in the South Bay, San Jose.
Oh, okay. But anyway, I had met you in Portland there. I was getting my Certified Senior Advisor designation, which I actually had since 2005. But it wasn't a designation that was accredited. So they got it accredited over time. So I wanted to take the class again in person in Portland. I had never been to Portland, so I wanted to view and see Portland, which is it's a great little city, isn't it, Jen?
I agree. Great food scene, especially their donuts and their ice cream.
Oh, the donuts.
It was a really nice conference. Yeah. If you made it out of the conference, there's donuts and ice cream.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, Portland is what I liked about Portland. When you get into the airport, you know, I use Uber wherever I travel, and I got my Uber account, and all of a sudden this thing comes up. It's just a number. So, oh, how does that work? No car, no license plate. So you get to the airport, and you say, oh, okay, where's the car sharing, they point you the direction. There's a line of cars. And what you do is you just get to when you get to the front of the line, they show the number and show it to the driver, and he takes you to wherever you got to go. It was very, very quick. You know, if you took a cab, it took longer. But because
that's quite the concierge. Usually it is kind of a zoo, like trying to figure out the license plate. But I guess Portland has it very organized.
Yeah, it's very organized. And I think you're going to see more and more cities that going to do that going forward. But anyway, Jen, yeah, I met you there. Like, wow, you have some really great cards. And I was very impressed the wordings on them and the different messages on them, like caregiver pride and caregiver happy, dare live happy is just so unique. And I've never seen anything like that. Like, I've got to have you on our web. We're going to do a story on you in a magazine. And yes, you got to order online, which is fine. But you have like, what, 20, 30 different card designs here, which are really impressive. And that's why I was just amazed at. Now, I did want to talk to you on the show really about how you got involved with this and then your experience with caregiving. Can you give us a little background on yourself?
Yes, I can absolutely do that. And first and foremost, Percy, I'm so glad I met you at the conference. And thanks for spotting my booth and seeing my card. So I'm definitely very grateful to be on the show and to share my cards with your audience. So thank you.
Yeah, well, they're great designs. So guys, you know, we'll talk about how to get to the website first. But yeah, give us a background on yourself, Jen, and then, you know, what got you involved with this website?
All right. Well, the whole website really started first and foremost with my family. The reason why I'm completely passionate in caregiving is because I was a caregiver for my grandma for 10 years.
10 years,
yes. I like to say it's a third of my adult life because I started in my 20s. I'm currently in my late 30s, but when I started, it was in my early 20s. And caregiving can happen anytime. And the passion started because my grandma, she raised me. She raised me and my brother in San Jose, South Bay, and actually a lot of my cousins as well. And she raised me when she started, I want to say she started in her 60s. So by the time she was in her 80s is when she started showing some signs of aging. Just nothing serious happened. It was very progressive, but it was more, I live with her. I live under the same house, and I saw her body just started becoming more dependent in the sense from independence to dependent. Like I could tell that she was leaning on the wall a lot. I was looking at her body mechanics and she was starting to have trouble to walk. And as a family, we were concerned that she may start falling. And then she was diagnosed with diabetes. And then from there, she was incontinent and she needed a wheelchair. So it was this progressive aging process for my grandma, where while I was in my 20s, living the life and trying to work in San Francisco, I just couldn't bear the thought of not being at home with my grandma in case something happened. So for me, caregiving really started when I decided, let me just quit my full-time job and be with grandma while she transitioned from being an independent woman to starting, you know, her own personal life change at that chapter. Like I said, it was in her 80s and I was in my 20s. And my brother and I were living in the same house at the same time with my grandma. And we made a pact. We said, you know, grandma raised us, so it's our turn. It's our time to return the favor. It is family love. But if she raised us and took care of us, we can definitely take care of her. That's really how the journey started.
Well, it's pretty common with a lot of families and a lot of seniors as you get older is progression. You know, unless they have a stroke or heart attack, it's really a progression as they slowly age and you get to have chronic diseases and all different types of chronic diseases. And that's one of the things that we cover in our magazine. If you go to our website, you'll see a lot of different articles and stories on all the different various health issues like COPD, strokes, knee replacement. And we have a lot of articles about how to stay active and stay healthy. But so you were a caregiver for 10 years. You know, as you say, in the Asian community, we try to take care of our own, but 10 years is a long time, Jen. I give you a lot of credit. You're an angel. Must have wings underneath you there.
I appreciate that. My grandma trained me well.
She did.
Yes, she really did. And I think in terms of speaking in the Asian culture, I was raised Chinese, so we definitely respect our elders and want to take care of them as long as we could. So part of it is also this natural responsibility. Traditionally, it's been ingrained in this, so I was happy to fulfill that service for my grandma as well.
Yeah, so like I was telling you, you know, actually our most popular show last year was my classmate from high school here, Alvin Suzuki, and his show was the most popular show last year out of all the shows we've done. We do about 48 shows a year on different topics, and His show was about caregiving for his mom, and he only did it for a few months. But just the journey how to get there, the journey of getting a call while he's on vacation with his daughter saying, you got to come home. And he said, I can't come home. I just got here, so I'll be home in a little bit. But he worked with the neighbors that called him. His mother's neighbor called him and said, listen, your mom's not doing good. So when he came back, he talked about the journey of a caregiver, and I had spent some time with him, and you know, it really is a journey, but look, it's created kind of a career for you now, right?
Yes, it has. And I'm really glad to hear that your friend had that type of care team support to tell him it's time to come home. Sometimes it's really creating, you know, the journey itself, but also having the support system of people being your eyes and ears if you can't be there.
And so are you still caregiving for your grandmother?
Currently not. She, as I like to say, she is partying somewhere else in this in another universe. She made it all the way to 98. She passed away in May. She passed away in May 2015, and at a solid 98 years.
That's great. That's a long.
Very,
that's
very,
you know.
Yeah, that's something to live up to.
Yeah, but you know, I was telling somebody this morning. I was meeting with an 86-year-old lady, and we're talking about she is. I never thought I would live this long. I said, well, you're right. We're the oldest generation in the world. We've never actually lived this long ever. You know, if you look at the records back in the 1800s, 1900s, 1950, 1960, 1970, we're aging longer. We're living longer. National average is higher than, I think, early 80s. I think in Hawaii, depending on who you talk to, is about 84 to 86. And personally, in my personal opinion, in the next 5 years, it'll be closer to 90. We're living a lot longer, whether you like it or not. And we got to find ways. You really, like this lady, talking about she never thought she'd be 86. Her mother died, I think, at 70. And now she's 86. And a daughter was there with her. And daughter said, Mom, you're healthy. You're going to live a lot longer. And she didn't make a happy face. It's kind of funny. But you know why? Because she was a former nurse. So she worked in care homes her last 10 years. And she saw the pain that people went through.
She's seen it. Yeah, she's definitely seen the aging process.
Yeah, but her mind is young.
Yeah, so I definitely.
You know, her mind was young. That's the key thing. You know, her
mind. Yeah, you gotta keep it alive.
Yeah. So
inside.
You know, my friend Alvin's story is really about this journey. I know you. There was your grandmother, and did you feel obligated, or were you the best option? Could nobody else take care of your grandma? Or you just decided this is going to be my job?
I will have to say it's both. At first, it was a volunteer gig. And then, of course, seeing what needed to be done, then it felt like an obligation. But it wasn't solely on me. We had a really solid family where we all lived within a 5-10 mile radius. So I had cousins, aunties, and uncles. So it was a really big team effort. So it didn't feel like it wasn't like a burden that was all on me. We were able to kind of distribute the care amongst our family who had the time to do it, scheduling shifts here and there. Mm-hmm. So I always give a shout out to my entire family. Like everybody was a rock star. It was all hands on deck. And if I wasn't available or my brother wasn't available, aunties and uncles really showed up to do their part.
Wow. And so what was your part of where you were actually living with your grandmother, right? So you were
Correct.
Like the first caregiver on call. Did you work at that time as well?
Yeah, I did, and then I quit my jobs because I just realized I just needed to be at home. As my brother John and I, we were the primary caregivers, meaning just within the same household. And at that time, I had a consulting job, but I decided to let that go and just kind of see what Grandma needed. And what we did was really, it was the bathing, the medication management, driving her to the doctor's appointments, cooking, going grocery shopping, a lot of what the caregiver terms are called activities of daily living, but also just a companionship. You know, we just didn't want her to be alone by herself at home. In case it's always that worry, right? That caregiver worry. In case something might happen, somebody needs to be home. Somebody needs to watch it. If I'm not there, somebody else should be there. So it was kind of just being the eyes and ears. And then if something new were to happen, then we'd report it to the entire family. You know, one of the big things I'd say like was a pivotal moment was when I could tell my grandma when she was walking, she was leaning on the walls a lot. You know, leaning on the dresser, the counter. And I just saw the way she was getting up. It was a little bit more difficult. And so one day I just said, hey, Grandma, I'm going to Home Depot. Why? I'm going to go.
Oh, Jen got cut off there. Not too sure what happened. Maybe she can call us back in. But we're on the phone with Jen Chan, caregiver herself, that after many years, 10 years, as she said, cared for her grandmother. Oh, there she is. She came calling back in. She's calling from all the way from San Francisco. But anyway, Jen, you're back on there now. Sorry about that.
I'm watching, helping her bathe, toilet, all that. But she's using all the grab bars for safety.
Oh, you went and got grab bars.
That was like one of the big things I knew. I'm like, okay, I need to be home just to see how grandma can age in place safely if she wants to stay at home. Like, what else? What else can I monitor to make sure she lives comfortably, doesn't trip or fall, any of those things? So those are one of the things that I really like, being at home with her, because I could see the transition and kind of make things a little bit more easier in case an accident, to prevent an accident.
Well, you're very lucky that you have a family that was willing to help take care of grandma, because, you know, in Hawaii here, even though we're much more of a family state.
You're there. You're still there.
Huh?
Oh, okay. There you go. There was a little blip.
Yeah. But as I was telling you, you're fortunate that you had a caring family that was able to help out, because here in Hawaii, you know, we have people that move away or people have busy schedules, you know, that they don't have the time, or they can't take the time, or they're not going to drive an hour to go help take care of grandma or grandpa, you know. So it's really important that you're very fortunate that you had a family that was all around you, and you had everybody to help out. So that's really, really important for successful caring for a loved one, don't you think?
I absolutely agree. I definitely feel very grateful, and I mean, with my family, but bigger than that, I learned a lot just from caregiving. Like, it is important to build community. We talk about community, but it's really important to talk about what you're doing and ask, you know, learn how to ask for help from neighbors or families, and having that support network, people that you can call on.
So you brought up a good point.
Yeah, it was
asking for help.
Oh, that was difficult. That was really hard to learn in my 20s. You know, you think you're invincible, you can do it all. The next thing you know, you can't do it all, and you have to learn how to ask for help.
Yeah, the reason why I say that is I have friends, relatives, neighbors that are caring for their loved ones, and they just burn themselves out. We have a neighbor that's probably lost over 30 pounds because she's doing everything. And it maybe even more. And it's very sad to see. And I've been telling this person for years, you got to get help. You know, yes, you're the best caregiver for your mom, but you don't want to burn yourself out. In fact, I heard a statistic yesterday on a conference call that 30% of the caregivers pass away before the person they're caring for. 30%. And that's so true in so many situations, especially for spouses. Our other neighbor passed away. He was caring for his wife with dementia for, I think, last 8 years. And he passed away before his wife, who he was caring for. And now it falls back on the children. So it's just something I think families need to understand. There's a lot of resources out there. And that's what Generations Magazine does, Jen, is we have a lot of resources. We service and provide a lot of information on nonprofits, state and city agencies on aging. That's what we do. But what are some of the hard parts of caregiving that you struggled with, or maybe you had a hard time with?
I'd say one of the hardest ones is what you just talked about. It's the burnout. For me, I really did feel a lot of stress in learning how to manage my time, learning how to balance a social life, but then also taking care of grandma. That was one of the things. Also, sometimes I feel like where I was at that time, you know, I can say a lot of things for now, but at that time I really wanted to do all the big things, live in San Francisco, do the big job, live the city life. And I had a lot of frustration, you know. I said, I got a college degree, not in healthcare, not in nursing. It was in business. But then I'm not working. I'm staying at home with grandma. I was really frustrated, but I knew it was the right thing to do. So one of the things I struggled with was stress management. And I really learned how to release that, because I knew that if I burned out, you know, that 30% is real. I took a lot of assessments when I was caregiving. And, yeah, the numbers don't look good for a caregiver. They give you a lot. It's kind of dark and gloomy. So I said, I really got to do something to get this stress out. So,
what did you do to handle that stress?
I worked out. Physical activity was one of the big things. So I ended up building an at-home gym.
Wow.
If I'm going to be homebound, I might as well work out at home. So watch a lot of videos. I have a lot of weights and a workout bench. And but one of the really big things, Piracy, that I love sharing is that if I really was in terms of managing the stress, I had a couple of friends I could call on and let them know that I needed to go dancing. Because to me, dancing is also a physical release. So I would call them and say, let's go dancing. And my big thing was going to the clubs and pretty much dancing next to the subwoofers. Like that the bass just really blasted all my stress away. I don't know. That was my thing. And those friends really helped me out in my time of need and trying to figure out how do I de-stress. They said, okay, let's go. Take you to the club, dance next to the speakers, blast, and then come home.
Well, I hope you don't do that anymore, you know, because you know, when you're 80 years old, your grandma's 80, you won't be able to hear a thing.
Yes. That, like I said, that was my prime. I think I'm going to slowly, you know, dance in the back of the room.
That's great.
And then there was, and there's one more thing I do want to share about, like, this kind of the one of the other challenges, Piercy, is the role reversal between my grandma and me. That was also part of why I was really stressed out, because I was not used to it, meaning that she used to be, and she raised me, so I see her as my mother and father, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a role reversal where now I was taking care of her.
You're like
I was
the parent
doing
now.
Yes, and it didn't click immediately, but it was what is this emotional like dynamic? It's not necessarily a struggle, but it was this new identity that I had to work with within myself. Like I couldn't look for my grandma to make my favorite meals anymore. I'd have to cook. I'd say, hey, what was the recipe for that? Oh, you're not doing it right. That's too much salt. I'm like, okay, well, all right. New relationship, right? And then the whole bathing, that's a whole nother thing. Like the vulnerability of bathing your parent, you know? Mm-hmm. Like it's very vulnerable. And, you know, that was something new to me. Like nobody taught me how to deal with those feelings. So, and the role reversals of telling your own parent or grandparent what to do,
mm-hmm.
They resist. She resisted a little bit until I told her it's for both our own good. So there was a new, the challenge was learning how to communicate and kind of step in as an authority figure, if you know, so to say.
Sure. Now, did she speak English?
If you were to listen to me.
Did she speak English or did you speak the dialect of Chinese? Did she speak English?
She spoke primarily Chinese.
Okay, you speak Cantonese?
I speak a bit of Cantonese. I do.
Okay.
And yeah. And it was also the challenge too. One of the challenges was if I had to translate medical terms or if we were at a doctor's visit, mm-hmm. that was also a language obstacle sometimes. I remember one time we were in the hospital and the nurse needed to put a catheter in. I don't know how to say catheter in Chinese.
I don't either.
You know, so
it's shorter.
Like, okay, you're right. I'm like, so grandma, you know how there's a straw?
That is so true, but real. That is real. That is, I don't know what to do.
It's real, but yeah.
So what did you do? Did you just show it to her?
Well, yeah, I just told her, I think it was urgent care. I'm trying to go back in time. I said they need, because she was in the hospital for a while, and like I said, she was incontinent, but the diapers were getting soiled frequently, and it wasn't getting changed enough. I had to talk to the nurse and say, I think it's time to put a catheter in, because I don't want her in soiled diapers until the next rotation, whatnot. And so I just had to tell Grandma, hey, so instead of diapers, Grandma, you know, the straw, they're going to need to put this straw in the place where you have to urinate. Do I have your approval? Is that okay?
Hmm.
And, you know, she nodded. I'm like, this has to happen so that you're not in soiled diapers. And she agreed to it. But it was to get Grandma's consent. And then I can translate back to the nurse and say, yeah, she's okay with it. She's ready for the process. So that was another learning curve for me. Like, okay, there's things that don't translate directly, but you're just going to have to make it up on the spot. And so I found that my lessons learned in caregiving is sometimes you just, it's impromptu. It's kind of like improv. Like, okay, what do I do with what we have right now to make the best of the situation? And so, I mean, there are times where it's comedic and there are times when it's, you know, it's really stressful. And so I went and danced.
Well, I give you a lot of credit. You learn on the job from the seat of their pants, as they say, you know.
As they say, hands on, literally.
Well, we're here with Jen Chan, a former caregiver for her grandmother. And in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about more about caregiving, but really about what she's done since then. It's called a Senior Shower Project, and she's got a great website that shows a lot of great caregiver cards that you can give out to your loved ones. So, Jen, hold on there. We're about a five-minute break here, and then we're going to come back. So, hang on, everybody. We'll be right back with Jen Chan and her caregiving experience.
The Medicare annual enrollment period is almost here. It begins October 15th, goes through December 7th. Do you need help figuring out which of the 2020 Medicare and drug plan options will meet your needs and budget? There are plans available that offer additional benefits and savings beyond original Medicare that can help you and your family save money. Margaret Wong is a licensed agent with the Copeland Insurance Group here in Hawaii. They have a team of agents on all islands, speak Cantonese, Mandarin, Korean, Tagalog, Ilocano, to help you understand the various Medicare and drug plan options. They are here to help you select the plan that will cover your current doctors and medications. They offer this service to you and your family throughout the year at no cost or obligation to enroll. Please give their office a call, 808-591-4877, Monday to Friday, 8 to 5. Once again, that's 808-591-4877. Thank you for allowing them to be your Medicare resource. They look forward to meeting with you and helping you and your family understand the 2020 Medicare and drug plan options at no cost or obligation. Call 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877.
When you feel like Vegas, there's just one place to stay. Grab a drink at the Holo Holo Bar. There's just one place to play. We got a fresh hot look, a new sports book. We got those local meals, just like Auntie Cook's. Aloha spoken here.
Check out the Cow's new renovated look and see why the Cow is Hawaii's favorite place in Vegas to stay and play.
Have you been looking for a safe anti-inflammatory for your health and longevity? Introducing Xanthosin, a doctor-recommended astaxanthin supplement that supports your joints, heart, liver, and longevity. Xanthosin is safe, pure, and specially formulated for superior absorption. Xanthosin complies with all FDA regulations for manufacturing and labeling. Xanthosin, the safe anti-inflammatory for health and longevity. Available at a GNC store near you.
If you're new to Medicare, we can help you work your way through all the questions, the details, and the headaches. Generations TV has gathered experts in the field to help you find the answers. This is Navigating Medicare.
When it comes to Medicare supplement plans, or what we call Medigap plans, okay, these are plans that fill in the 20% that Medicare doesn't cover. And there's plans from Plan A all the way up to Plan N.
When you're signing up for these plans, there are certain times when you have guaranteed issue. The Medicare Supplement Open Enrollment Period.
Hi, I'm Ed Motosui, and I'm with Financial Benefits Insurance. We're a full-blown insurance company that deals with seniors. We help seniors understand Medicare so they can come to us, and we'll gladly help them understand all the Medicare health options.
Helping you work your way through the confusion, Navigating Medicare. Brought to you today by Financial Benefits Insurance, serving the entire state of Hawaii from the corner of Pi'ikoi and Kapi'olani in Honolulu.
Did you know residential care homes offer a family-oriented atmosphere? At Caregivers Heart Hawaii, our kupuna become part of the family. The smaller environment allows for more personal attention. For example, there's no waiting to go to the bathroom compared to other long-term care options. The patient-to-caregiver ratio is smaller and help is faster. Over time, residential care homes are less expensive compared to other long-term care options. Our caregivers are experienced and enjoy what they do, and all homes are ADA approved. Don't feel stressed and overwhelmed or try to do this alone. Aloha, I am Ku'unani Demonte with Caregivers Heart Hawaii. Let us help you with all your care home placement needs. Caregivers Heart Hawaii has knowledge and experience. For a free consultation and to learn more about us, go to caregivershearthawaii.com, where treating kupuna like family is our business.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit VoidVacationsHawaii.com.
Hi, I'm Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group. Let us be your Medicare resource throughout the year. We have agents throughout the islands to be of assistance to you. So if you have Medicare questions, we have the answers. Call us at 808-591-4877. Again, 808-591-4877. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Hauer from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back, everybody, to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, the publisher of Generations Magazine, and your host here for Generations Radio. We're on a call with Jen Chan, a former caregiver for a grandmother, but also has a business called the Senior Shower Project. If you go to that website, just Google it, Senior Shower Project, and you'll find it. But what's really cool is they got these great, I don't know, Jen, how many, like 30 different designs on caregiver cards?
Yeah, Percy, it's 30 plus. Yeah, definitely. All different ones.
Yeah, great sayings and anything, but we'll get back to that. But, you know, I just realized that you're also a certified senior advisor like myself.
Yes, I am. That's why we met at the conference.
How long have you had your CSA?
I believe this is a, let me see, what year is this?
2019.
Yeah. I think I started in 2012. And
really? Wow.
Yeah. I started looking into the designation and the curriculum because I knew I wanted to get into the industry, but I didn't have any experience in the terminology. I was just a family caregiver for my grandma, but I wanted to learn more of the professional terms and the roadmap of what the full picture of caregiving was. So I decided to get my CSA and get certified to understand all the, like I said, the terminology, but also to meet other people that were ethically, compassionately invested into taking care of seniors.
Yeah, that is so true. And that's the one reason why I got my designation actually in 2005. I'm much older than you, but I got involved in aging in 2002. And in 2005, when I got my designation, it was not an accredited designation. And I tell the story all the time because 90% of all the designations you see out there for medical, healthcare, legal, financial, realtors, 90% of the designations out there are not accredited. In other words, a third party didn't review the designation, nor the curriculum, or the test, or the CE, and some may not even require CE, but CSA does. The designation is one of only 1% that is double accredited. So I think in the late 2000s, got accredited and double accredited several years later. But I took the class because I wanted to redo it and learn more. And with my background with the magazine as well and my reverse mortgage business, I really learned a lot of information. But, yeah, congratulations. And, yeah, unfortunately, there's only about 9 certified senior advisors in the state of Hawaii. There used to be more, but I think to renew it, is pretty a difficult test. It's like 300 questions, and that's a long day.
it's a long day. I definitely studied for that one.
So what is this other one you have, CCC?
The CCC, I actually got that designation this fall. It stands for Certified Caregiving Consultant, and it's a designation provided by caregiving.com.
Okay.
Kind of like I wanted to do the duo, coming from the caregiver end and also the senior advisor end. The CCC designation is really for people to kind of walk side by side with a current caregiver right now, kind of almost like a caregiver coach. Really sharing that space because we've all been through the journey,
uh-huh.
and to be able to be there and provide the ability to listen and validate their experience and really help them with their decision making for their loved ones.
That is so true. Plus, you have the firsthand experience. You know, we have about 5 different professionals that work with the magazine, and actually, I am the only one that does not have firsthand experience with caregiving. Believe it or not. Everybody else in the magazine has. Yes, I don't. I know caregiving because of I have about 1,000 senior clients from my reverse mortgage business since 2002.
Right.
So I deal with a lot of different situations on a daily basis. I've been to many hospitals and people's nursing beds and consulted with attorneys and financial advisors and realtors from the whole big picture of aging, but never really had firsthand experience. But I know it's coming. My mother and father are aging as well. They're 89 and 91. So we're just planning that out right now as we structure out what they need and what they want and how they want it. And so we're having family meetings on that now. But so that's great. You have the background, you have the accreditation, you have the licenses. So that's really good. So,
yes.
So how did this, so I know you caregiver for your grandma for 10 years. How did this senior shower project start? And tell us more about it.
Okay. The senior shower project sparked while I was taking care of my grandma. And with all due respect, our family sometimes did call my grandma the big baby, you know, because we did. I mean, it was all due respect. It was comedic. Because at that time we had to help bathe her. We were doing diaper duties, kind of taking her to the bedside commode. And then helping her toilet, transfer, we kind of started doing everything for her. And at that same time, I attended my first baby shower. It wasn't mine, but it was my friend's. And when I was at that event, I really saw a lot of similarities of taking care of a baby and taking care of an older adult, again, mm-hmm. with all due respect. But it was just more of the activities that were involved, from prepping food, from feeding to bathing, toileting, putting them in the transfer them into a car, putting them in a wheelchair or, mm-hmm. if you will, like a stroller, taking them to the doctor's visits. And I just saw all these parallels. And then it dawned on me and I said, you know what? They're kind of similar. And I was looking, then all of a sudden I saw this circle of life thing. And then at that party, baby shower games are going on and everybody's talking about baby, baby, baby. And then someone asked me and said, hey, Jen, so what, you know, how are you feeling? I said, you know what? Are you going to have a baby anytime soon? And I just automatically said, you know what? I already have a baby. And everybody was shocked. I'm like, wait, what? When did you have a baby? I'm like, no, I didn't have a baby, but I took care of my grandma and everything's kind of the same. And, you know, I'm kind of tired. I'm kind of burned out.
Not
I can take
sleep.
A break. I'm not getting any sleep. You know, I'm on call 24/7. I'm always worried about everything. And then that was a light bulb moment for me. And I said, wait a second. There's our similarities. And I also like to be kind of cheesy. So I'd like to say the senior shower was born at a baby shower. That literally happened. And then when I saw just the party atmosphere of a baby shower, I thought, wait a second, you know, new parents, new moms and dads, they get this party, a very supportive, positive party to welcome a new life into this world. You know, family and friends get together, there's food, there's drinks, there's a nice buzz to it. And then people bring gifts, right?
Mm-hmm.
They bring gifts, and these are tools and resources a new mom, dad, or new parent need to take care of a new human being. So I looked at it and said, well, if people who are entering parenthood get this party called a baby shower, what if I flip the concept? What if I focus on the other end of life, the other end of the spectrum? What if there was a party for people who took care of the seniors, took care of those entering the later stages of life? What if there was a party that celebrated caregiverhood? What would I call this party? What would I call this party? So I said, well, why don't I just flip it? Baby shower to senior shower. Have a party where family caregivers who are about to take care of the older adults or seniors in their family, they get a party. Same concept. That's the theme is caregiving. What if everybody, just imagine this party where everybody got together and they shared caregiving stories. Most people don't talk about caregiving unless they're in a healthcare setting or something happens, or they're doing some care planning like you, Piercy, for you and your family, right? But outside of that, people don't really talk about caregiving unless you're in that space. I'm like, but what if people really started to, like, looking forward to caregiving as a life milestone, right?
It's so
as
true.
A rite of passage party, like a new family tradition. Like, somebody's going to become a caregiver for mom, dad, grandpa, uncle, whoever's older, an older adult in the family. Let's get everybody together. Let's invite everybody, have food and drinks, and people can bring gifts. And these are gifts that the new caregiver will use to take care of the older adult, because most people don't know what to do.
Right.
What if there was just a starter kit, you know? What if people gave all this advice? And I said, you know what? There could be legs on this. And you know what? I'm going to make this party happen. And that's how I started the Senior Shower Project.
I believe you. Yeah, guys, I met Jen last month in Portland, and she's got the energy. But let me ask you something, Jen. You know, one of the things that, you know, like I deal with friends and family of mine and mm-hmm. people from a magazine when I go to work, do workshops. And how did you learn to do all this? Is just winging it and just learning on the run? Like all these things, how to base somebody, how to transfer people.
In terms of caregiving or the
in terms of caregiving,
concept?
In terms of caregiving.
Personally.
Yeah, like how did you learn to bathe, and how did you know to transfer, and how do you feed somebody? How did you learn all that? Did you learn it on your own, trial and error?
Learn it, yeah, definitely trial and error, learning on the fly. In terms of transferring, my brother and I and our cousins, we winged it. But there was definitely a moment where we learned, okay, we need to really learn how to transfer properly, because I can name at least three people, including me, where we threw our backs out, where we had to lift grandma off the floor, and we realized we're not doing it correctly. So next thing you know, we needed to learn how to transfer properly. We actually even ended up getting a Hoyer lift inside our home. And I ended up doing a recording session on how to do it properly. Like, hey, cousins, if I'm not here to do this, follow this video. And this is how you pick grandma up and put her back into bed. So it became kind of a trial error, and then passing on the knowledge. And, of course, learning it properly. We've done a few YouTube videos, but definitely going back to the professional doctors and say, what's the best way to do this or that? And even learning how to use a transfer sheet just to distribute the weight evenly to take grandma from one spot to another. So trial and error for sure, but there's no need to reinvent the wheel, but we kind of did it kind of like a hybrid model, like, you know, just learn on the fly, but there's got to be more information out there, so let's do it. But sometimes it's more like, okay, if it's not working for us, or some of us are getting hurt, then we're not doing it right.
Right. But it's so true. But yeah, in Hawaii, we have a community college that does caregiving classes. There's some other assisted living properties and nonprofits that do caregiver workshops and caregiver support group meetings. And that's one of the things I highly recommend people. When I find out that they're going to be a caregiver, I recommend they go to a caregiver workshop, sit around, talk to a story with other caregivers that are probably going through the same thing, and you can teach each other different techniques, how to transfer, how to bathe. You know, like I said, like you said, I don't know if I could bathe my mother. You know, that's a very difficult process to understand, let alone have to do it yourself, you know. So I give you a lot of credit with that. So tell us about the caregiver card. So the Senior Shower Project is their main website, and it has how that works, so people can log on there and learn about the Senior Shower Project. But Tell us more about the caregiver card. How did you decide to do that and be a publisher of postcards and greeting cards?
Yeah, the Senior Shower Project is basically the party model. The caregiver cards kind of became a spinoff of the party concept. I didn't think I was going to go into greeting card business, but as I asked myself about how do people hear about parties, I realized people get invited, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get invited by either an invite or an e-vite or by actual hard copy card, like you're invited to this party. Just like a baby shower or a wedding shower, bridal shower would be. So I decided, well, I got to make my own party cards. Like, you're invited to a senior shower. Thank you for coming to the senior shower. But when I started designing the cards, I said, well, why don't I design a couple other uplifting, happy cards for caregivers to recognize the hard work that they do? And maybe this could have been, maybe I could design cards that I wish I received or my family, I would have had to wanted to give to my family. And said, hey, caregiver, you're doing a great job. You're changing lives. You're amazing. Like, this to have a point of recognition. So the caregiver card went from, I started designing party invite cards to, let's see if people want this caregiver appreciation cards. And then from there, I kind of picked up some steam. I wanted to really celebrate family caregivers. But as I started talking about the cards, it seemed like a lot of the professional caregivers are also receiving these greeting cards. It's been from what I hear that they're also the ones. I'm just one person, right, Pierce? I'm just one person with my family, but there are professional caregivers out there that are serving multiple clients a day, if not in a week, and they also need acknowledgement for their work too. So when I started off with just a couple SKUs for my greeting card line, it's really expanded to over 30. And it's been amazing. I've had a lot of really positive feedback. And when I present my cards in the communities or at aging conferences or caregiving conferences, I feel very, very grateful for them sharing their stories. They've told me that, Jen, you know, I wish I had this card 5 or 10 years ago. To give to my caregiver or to give to my auntie or to give to all the people that help take care of my loved ones, especially even during like the end of life or the hospice phase. Like, I didn't know what to say, but your cards are so caregiver specific. You help me put down what I want to say. All I got to do is find my personal message in the side. And to me, I was like, this is wonderful. These cards have become my love notes.
They are
distributed to caregivers.
They are. So let me, for you guys,
it's been amazing.
So you guys are listeners on the radio show. And by the way, Jen, this show will be posted on our website in a couple of weeks.
All right.
But give you some of the topics here. This one card I like is, you're the secret sauce to caregiving success. The other one here is, your caregiver karma bucket is overflowing. Okay. Congrats, you're going to be the best senior caregiver. Boy, whoever gets that card is like, oh, okay, here I come. I like this one. You deserve a thank you drenched in rainbows and made of gold. So who thinks of these this title? Who wrote these? Did you write all these?
Yes, I wrote most of these with a little bit of brainstorming with my family and friends. Creatively, they're kind of fun. I really looked at the card market, and not a lot of cards are geared towards caregiving. Most of them are condolence sympathy cards. So I decided to give it a little bit more humor, throw in some puns out there, design some things that they're more positive and uplifting. And so it's been, I make some of these up and I kind of do soundboarding with my friends to see if it's a little too much flair or not. Should I scale back or should I go all the way?
No, I would go all the way. This one here is this card. And the front of the card says, you are a treasure, a modern day angel, a warrior. When times are tough, soothing balm when there is a pain, a shining light when there is darkness. That's a great one.
That one's sweet.
I mean, yeah, they're so good.
Thank you so much.
So who designed, do you design it or you just say, okay, Percy, here's what I want you to say, create the look of the card. They're kind of like in people's handwritings, but the graphically is so appealing to look at, and it just really hits home. It's not really homemade, but it looks homemade a little bit, but it's professionally done.
Thank you. Yeah, I will definitely give a shout out to my artist friend, Trina Spiller. She is the illustrator. I come up with all the content and copy and all my chicken scratches and all my doodles of what I want it to look like, and she brings it to life. You don't want to see my scribbles. What you see is several rounds of, okay, this is the concept. Bring it to life. Bring it to life. So I would say it's a team effort. She illustrates, and I come up with the verbiage and the content and the imagery. And she's the one who's doing kind of like the handwriting typography.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, it looks kind of everyone a little bit different. This one says, you make a gazillion differences, which is kind of cool. I like that one.
Caregivers do.
You do. You are a true gift caregiver, which is really so nice. I mean, if you want something plain, that's a good one. Let's see, what else I got here? I like this one. Treat yourself, you deserve it. And that's something that I think every caregiver needs to do.
Yeah. And there is one I also like to kind of stir in a twist. There's one where it says, thank you for making my end of life wishes come true.
Yeah, that's so important that families discuss that.
It's just like you say, you're doing a lot of planning, but it's, you know, most people don't talk about, hey, thanks for helping me with my end of life conversations and topics. But it's important to bring awareness to, if we normalize the conversation, it's easier to talk about.
Yeah. Well, what I like about it is all these are positive. You know, I deal with families every day, and, you know, a good percentage of the families I work with, they're very negative or depressed or downrotten and just have seen life very difficult as a caregiver. But yours, a lot of them uplifting. Like this one says, caregiving is the most special gift you can give to one another human being, which is so true. You know, it's so true.
Yes. That's the inspiration card. That's what after caregiving, I kind of see everything from a compassionate point of view. You know, like, there are the dark days, but there is the light at the end of the tunnel, and there is inspiration. There's so much strength in caregivers. They're just solid rock stars, and I want them to know that.
Yeah, well, this one's good. It's got a little trophy here with caregiver on the top, and then it says on the bottom, it says compassion champion.
Yeah.
That's a nice one. But it's so true, it's really good to highlight them. And some of the other caregivers that I talked to that we've had in the magazine on a radio show is that they've learned so much more about their parent. They learn things they never knew if they didn't care for them. And it's a way to give back for all the loving that they were raised, like your grandmother raised you.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. There are stories that happen next to the bedside or just sitting down next to them. And the stories just come out. Sometimes you don't, there's no prompting for it. They just say, well, we're here. Let me tell about this one time. Or, you know, like, I've raised you to this child, and they're kind of giving them the rest of their life's wisdom because they know it's the later stages in their life, and you're just sitting there learning and learning and learning because you're there. And if you weren't by their side as a companion, you may not know that.
Right. So what did you take away from this experience besides your business here from your caregiving experiences?
From caregiving?
Besides the business and with your entrepreneurial spirit, but you did 10 years. That's a long time. I give you a lot of credit.
Thank you so much.
It's a very difficult life. I know, like, even though I haven't been a personal caregiver myself, but I deal with a lot of families, like our neighbors dealing with their mom. My auntie's been caregiver by her three sons for the last 10 years, 10 plus years. So what's the biggest takeaway? If I can say there's one big takeaway.
The biggest takeaway is I don't take my body for granted. I'm definitely on the track of being more healthy. You know, I know there could be chronic conditions that can happen to us as we age, but I've really seen, like, I don't take walking, eating, breathing for granted because I know that the healthier I am, the easier it will be for whoever's going to take care of me in the future. That's been my takeaway. Like, I want to make it as easy as possible for whoever is going to take care of me, whether it's one person or a team. And I can do what I can do to prevent certain things. But in terms of not taking my body for granted, like, even the simple things, like I said, the transferring, I learned a lot how difficult it was just to transfer from bed to toilet to a vehicle to wheelchair, you know? So it's like, well, maybe I should make more, you know, better decisions and not doing anything too risky.
Well, it's so true, Jen. So Jen, thank you so much. To check her out, go to seniorshowerproject.com and click on the caregiver cards. We'll be featured in a magazine or December, January issue. So Jen, thanks so much. I appreciate you so much and your story, and have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Percy.
Okay, everybody.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So everybody, have a great weekend. As always, aloha and live well.
The preceding program was sponsored by Generations Magazine.